I'm Kay Puttock for KHOI Community Radio, and this is KHOI's Heart of Iowa, a program featuring a patchwork quilt of artists, public speakers, and individuals of note in central Iowa.
My guests today are two musicians from Vermont. Their group is called Shady Rill, Patty Casey and Tom McKenzie. And I've already established they're not married to one another, they're married to other people. They play together. And they're on a tour going to Nebraska, Wyoming, Colorado, Idaho, and Missouri. They're just passing through Iowa, but we're lucky. We're going to hear them today and record them so that you can enjoy it on the radio. Now, what song would you like to start with?
Start off with one written by the Sibleys called Will You Walk With Me?
1, 2, 3.
Patty was playing the guitar and Tom
the banjo.
And I see you bought it is a banjo, right?
It is. A 5-string banjo.
Okay, a 5-string banjo. And you brought a lot of other instruments with you. Do you want to talk a bit about the different instruments each of you plays?
Sure. Today in the studio I have a banjo and a ukulele. I also play a little bit of hammered dulcimer, which was too unwieldy to carry today, and I had to tune it. And we do a wide variety of styles and a lot of different instruments. We do everything from French-Canadian to Irish to Scottish to sort of Tin Pan Alley type stuff and a lot of our own material. Patty writes quite a bit of what we sing.
And so Patty writes all the songs that you that are original.
Many of them, but yeah, I write some too, and we we steal from other people too. People whose songs that last one we just played was the Sibleys, who are out in California now. But
and I am playing a guitar, just a regular old beautiful Martin six string, and I have a silver flute that I'm going to play in a little bit. Play whistles and sing, obviously. I do seated clogging, which is a French-Canadian style of percussion, foot percussion.
Are you going to do that today?
I'm not, because I don't have have my board. I have my clogs, but I don't have my board with me. So you'll have to imagine that. But
not too bad.
You could have just done this on the table and
yeah.
said I was clogging.
So I suppose the kind of instruments you play is tied to the origin of the music, the sort of national origin, or
to some extent. I think we adapt. We do a lot of instrumental, just tunes, without any singing, and we'll kind of use whichever instrument works. Like we do some Irish stuff on the flute and banjo, which is not an unusual combination for Irish music. But the type of banjo that Tom plays and the type of flute that I play are not typical traditional instruments for Irish music. So we've sort of adapted what we know and what we have and what we use for instruments to the music that we like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you mentioned Irish music, and Tom's got a Scottish name. So let's talk about national origins of your music and of yourselves, too.
Okay.
Well, a lot of the Appalachian music came from Scotland, Ireland, and, down southern Appalachia, and the same tunes that they would have played on pipes were transferred to banjo and fiddle. So the five-string banjo fits very well with a lot of that music, because you have that fifth-string drone, which is kind of like the bagpipes if you use your imagination. And a lot of the tunes, you'll hear someone say, oh, this tune was written in North Carolina, and you can probably trace it back to Great Britain somewhere or Ireland. And a lot of the old ballads are still very popular down south. So it's all interconnected, and it's just crossed oceans, but it's a lot of the same music.
Yeah, there's kind of a melting pot that, like in New England and down the Appalachian Mountains, that a lot of people came from different countries in the early 1900s, late 1800s and 1900s, and there was African influence playing banjo, which is actually an African instrument. Mandolin players from Italy, British Isles players, fiddlers, and they each had their own kind. Not that anything was necessarily singularly theirs, but many of them had their own style of music. And like Tom said, a lot of the tunes were maybe similar to each other, but when they came together, it was a whole new animal. And it was the start of, the old string bands, which preceded bluegrass music. Like, old-time music is a predecessor of bluegrass, which is, of course, a predecessor of a lot of country music, and which turned into rock and roll. And so it's kind of a neat thing to sort of follow the trail backwards. And Tom and I like a lot of the sort of original. I'm Irish. My family's Irish. And I grew up listening to, some Irish music and among other things. But it's fun to just pick those really specific, like Scottish tunes or Irish tunes. We do French Canadian stuff as well, and do them, fairly simply. But then we'll also incorporate, like, songs that I've written. I've incorporated some French Canadian elements into them and some bluegrass elements, and so it's if you listen back through those streams of music, it all comes together and comes out in stuff that we write. So,
would you like to play a song that illustrates the kind of thing you've just been talking
sure.
about?
Oh, sure. Let's see. How about
a tune for a different tune?
Are you an A? Fair Dog would
an A.
work.
Yes, sure. Yeah, let's do that. So, this is one of Patty's, one that she wrote.
Yeah, and it's got a sort of a bit of an old time feel, partly because Tom plays a clawhammer banjo, clawhammer style banjo, so that kind of gives it an old time feel, but it's got a little bit of Irish sensibility to it in the way that the melody is written. It's called The Fairest Dogwood Bloom.
I should say, are those called what plectrums that you're putting?
These are picks.
Picks. Okay.
I just put some steel finger picks on my fingers and a thumb pick on my thumb, and it just gives a slightly brighter sound than just using my fingers. I was using a flat pick earlier, so you'll hear the difference in the sound.
I'm using my fingernail.
Patty Casey and Tom McKenzie, they're a group called Shady Rill. They're on a tour through the West, really, I guess, Nebraska, Wyoming, Colorado. They're passing through Iowa, and we're benefiting from that. And that song you just heard was one of Patty's own compositions. And they are, I should have mentioned, they are from Vermont, so they're a long way from home at the moment. Now, we've talked a little bit about the kind of music that's influenced you, sort of old ballads and old national music. Would you like to say a bit more about that, the styles that have influenced you?
So I'll go here.
Sure.
I'm sure we both have different backgrounds. I grew up, my dad is 90, and he recently played the trumpet. I grew up listening to him play in dance bands, mm-hmm. and so I heard a lot of old kind of jazz and swing, early 20th century stuff, which I love, and we can do a little bit of that. So that was one influence. Like I said, I also listened to some Irish music. And I played classical flute for many, many years and in bands. And so.
And the kind of flute you play today is not classical?
I don't play a classical style, although I have thought about doing a little bit more of that again. I kind of miss it. But what I do now is mostly Celtic. I play in a contradance band in Vermont once a month, which is a lot of fun. So I really like the kind of off-book playing tunes and, you know, I'll still read music while I'm playing stuff that I don't know, but I like to memorize, and then you can kind of play with it a little bit and alter it a little bit. So that's kind of my...
That's your deal.
More of my background.
Yep. I have such a convoluted way of getting to where I am today. I think I when I was 8 years old, I was, you know, told that I was taking piano lessons, which I did, and didn't quite appreciate it at the time, of course, but now I'm very happy that I did. In high school, everyone was playing guitar at the time, so I went the complete opposite direction and looked for the farthest thing away from guitar, electric rock guitar that I could find, and banjo was it.
Okay.
So I started playing banjo because no one else did. And had no idea about the music at all. I would listen to records, try to copy what I was hearing, but had no idea what the music was or what it was about. It wasn't until a few years later I actually heard someone live playing, you know, bluegrass music. So then it sort of, you know, put me on the right path to the kind of music. And I knew what I wanted to do, but I just didn't know how to do it. So I eventually found the right teacher who taught me. And I've been playing banjo now for over 40 years. The hammer dulcimer, I heard one at a festival one time, just way off in the distance. And I just, it was a kind of sound that just drew me in. I it was something I'd never heard before. And so that is how I started that. The ukulele I started because I had a dislocated elbow and couldn't move my arm far enough to play the banjo at the time.
Ukulele is a very
I could play in a sling, yes. But, so, yes. But I grew up, my mother would dance around the kitchen doing, you know, vaudeville type songs after the ball was over. You know,
oh, right, yes.
But the, not the serious versions, the you know, the comical versions.
Okay.
So she would sing those, you know, at the top of her lungs. So that, that made an influence too, I think. So like Patty, I had that sort of Tin Pan Alley influence at an early age, and it's come back to me.
So you can do a little bit of old time featuring Tom on the banjo.
Sure, we can do a couple tunes or so.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do one that's maybe familiar out here. It's a It's called Big Coyote. It's a kind of Ohio River Valley tune, but it's used a lot in New England as a contradance tune.
Mentioned you're on tour, and I wanted to ask you how you manage being on tour for these long, it must be hours, hours during the day in the car together. And
Yes, we were running down to state capitals.
Yeah,
yesterday.
We did state capitals, and then we moved down to country capitals. And
country capitals.
We
yes.
were getting a little punchy, so we were laughing a lot about my failure in geography. You know, we used to tour for many years in a band called Wood Sea Company, which was a band that toured nationally for a long time.
Yes.
And so we had countless trips across the country back and forth in a van with four of us. Really, mm-hmm. It was a good-sized van with a trailer.
Sometimes not big enough, but
yeah,
yes.
right. Sometimes we all wanted our own room in the van. But
oh, you used to sleep in it.
No.
Just during the day. But Tom and I both like to travel. Mm-hmm.
And we tried to build in, you know, a day or two once in a while so we can go for hiking. And we go walking. And
yeah.
you know, we try to make it so once we get past, you know, the middle of the country, we spend more time because the first half of the country driving is
you get you know, it. We just kind of have to get
part.
There, yeah.
Right. So once we get out here and west, we try to build in some downtime.
Uh-huh. We didn't get to the Corn Palace, but
unfortunately.
Oh, you've never seen that.
No,
I've seen
only,
that several
only in
times.
Pictures.
No,
yeah.
We went to Carhenge. So
what's the town there?
Mitchell.
Mitchell, South Dakota.
Yeah.
That's it. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We were trying
my
to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we could get over the.
We
Corn
have to
Palace.
Get there sometime. Yeah. It was five hours.
We decided to watch it.
Yeah. So we hit all the hot spots like that.
Yeah.
So. They change the decorations.
Every year.
Yeah.
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 And they're
read.
Having a huge renovation, I just read on the internet yesterday.
Oh. Yeah. So we're hoping one of these years to get to the Corn Palace.
Right.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah. Do you ever run into bad weather?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
I see you going to Colorado. What time of the year will you be there? Pretty soon or
day after tomorrow.
Oh, well so, hopefully yes. you'll be ahead of too much.
It's probably fine. Yeah. Last year we took a road that we probably shouldn't have, and I think they closed the road after we went through.
It was a little hairy.
But you know, I've got a 4-wheel drive vehicle with snow tires, and you know, we've never gotten stuck.
Looks if Pat is gearing up for another
song.
Well,
do you want to do something with the ukulele?
Sure.
We could do this is a great old song from the mid-1900s. It's called On a Slow Boat to China.
Oh, my mother used to sing this one.
Oh, really?
Yes. So sing along.
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China. All to myself alone. You and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovers weeping on a faraway shore out on the briny with the moon big and shiny melting your heart of stone. Honey, I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China. All to myself alone. Shiny myself alone.
That's wonderful. As I say, my mom used to sing that, and she would have been 98.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so. Well, here's to your mom.
I want to talk about terminology a little bit here. Those noises, is that called riffing?
That, in this idiom, would be called scatting.
Scatting, that's
although
it.
Although there are people that do better than I do.
What is riffing, then?
Riffing is more an instrumental term.
Oh, okay.
But, funny that you should say that. Scatting, in jazz or swing, is called scatting. But if we were doing Irish music, it's called lilting. You know,
okay.
And in French-Canadian, it's called turlute. It's a French word. It just means mouth music.
Okay.
So most styles of music have their own version of it, and they're all different enough that you can kind of recognize what someone's doing.
And the other thing, probably most people that are listening will know this probably better than me, but you mentioned contra dancing, which is different from country dancing. I mean, it's a form of country dancing,
yes.
But it means opposite, I guess, contra.
Right.
So
contra
standing
lines.
Two lines.
Right.
Lines.
So it's none of the circle. No
it's,
circle.
It's a lot of the same figures as square dancing.
Uh-huh.
It's just that they're done in lines. Instead of, you know, eight people at a time, you can have a line that can go, you know,
as long as
20
you like.
People if you'd
yes.
like.
And you dance with everyone eventually.
Right.
You kind of work your way through the line.
Work your way down the line, right.
They're really neat. It's really fun.
It sort of
fun.
Came after English country dancing and then before square dancing,
right.
pretty much. So.
Well, when you look at old movies and you see, like, 18th and earlier a century people dancing, even at court or something,
right.
they're in two lines
yeah.
like that, and they go down the line.
Right, like a cotillion.
Right.
That was
Jane Austen, the kind of dancing
exactly.
in Jane Austen novels. And they get to talk to different
or
people.
Gone with the Wind.
And it was sort of the original speed dating, I guess. You quickly work your way through the line.
Right.
But I think you have contra dances here, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is it's a wonderful, wonderful way to, meet people and spend a Saturday night and get some exercise and hear some great live music all in one.
And there's a prompter who teaches the dance, and you don't have to know the dance ahead of time. So you can go by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and just everyone's taking different partners.
And I think there's a caller. Lana is a caller. Lana is from Onion Creek Farm.
Yes.
So she calls dances. So if you are fortunate enough to have contra dances in your town, you should definitely get out and take advantage of it.
It's a fun way to exercise.
Yeah. Yep. It's a beautiful, beautiful
healthy
evening. Yes. Yeah.
Contra dancing. Fourth Saturday of every month at 8 o'clock at the Wesley Annex of the Collegiate Methodist Church. Contra dancing. Come by yourself, you'll find someone to dance with. Good exercise, fun times.
Yes. So?
So when you're playing for contra dancing, is it always non-vocal? Is it always just instrumental?
Mostly, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Every once in a while, you know, the tradition has evolved like everything else. So sometimes people... There's some singing calls, not as many as in square dancing. There's a lot of singing calls in square dancing. But sometimes, you know, the band, after the dance is learned, the prompter stops the calling, and he just lets the music go. And the people have learned the dance, so they know when this piece of music comes, that's when you start to dance. And then sometimes maybe the band will, you know, mess around a little bit and sing some song in the middle of a tune.
Uh-huh.
So as long as it fits the rhythm of the dance, it's it's fun.
Yeah, and Tom and I both are contra dance musicians back east, so different bands.
Yep.
But
Yeah. Well, are you going to play something else for us now?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Tom, do you want to sing?
Do
you want to sing Sitting by the Fire or something?
We could try that.
We'll do it's an old Carl Robison song. And the other thing about Tom and I is that we're both real dog lovers, animal lovers. So,
me too.
So we always try to do a couple of dog songs per set, and so this is a great song called Sitting by the Fire.
So much from me. Never had no ambition to be called a millionaire. So I never waste my time wishing in my good old rocking chair, sitting by the fire. with my hound dog by my side. She ain't got no pedigree. I like her. She likes me. Nothing to worry about. Till the dog on fire goes out. Then I'll throw on a log for me and my dog sitting by the fire.
Out of verse or so there.
But. You said you had another dog song?
Oh, yes, we can do. This is called The Dog's Complaint. Dog's Complaint. Yeah, this is this is a song that was written by my dog. So my dog Cosmo, he's passed on now. He was a Chihuahua Jack Russell cross, and he was he liked to be warm, and he used to lie by the wood stove in our house, and then we moved into town in Montpelier, big city of Montpelier, and the furnace was downstairs, so there was no place for him to get warm. And he took up the pen, and he put his thoughts into this really dreadful song in an attempt to get some sympathy. It's all written in his voice, his little pathetic wheedling voice, so come on.
You got your tail in.
That was terrible.
That was terrible, like it always is. It's Cosmo's terrible song. Yeah.
Well, you say Cosmo wrote that, but I don't believe you. So I'm going to ask you, Patty, the songs that you write, what sort of themes do you go for?
That's a great question. You know, it seems like in almost everything I write, with the exception of that dreadful song, nature finds its way into my words, the imagery. And I've always been a person who was out in the woods a lot and kind of lived off the beaten path and always kind of been an observer of nature. So that theme tends to, no matter what I'm writing about, I tend to see the world in terms of the natural world. I make sense of emotions and other people and things that go on around me in the context of the natural world. So the fairest dogwood bloom is it's a sort of a love song, but it's about always finding your way home. And there's probably a lot of ways to say that, but in my worldview, the way is a trail back up through the mountains. And so there are other examples of it, but that tends to be a lot of the imagery that I use. And in terms of what I write about, I've written some love songs, but I use writing as a way to make sense of life, and not to get too esoteric, but why we're here and what might happen when we're no longer here, and sort of telling stories of people's lives through my music. And I imagine a lot of them are imagined. I imagine, sure. I have a song written about a mining disaster, and I completely imagined it. And I'm kind of a voyeur of other people's lives.
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask Tom the same question, but is there a song like the mining disaster song or another song you'd like to play that sort of illustrates what you were just talking about?
Well, probably.
We could think of one.
We could do that one, or You Are the Rivers, kind of the nature.
Sure, either
sort
one.
Of a, yeah. Okay, that might be. So this is a waltz, and it really embodies that sense of running emotions through the filter of the natural world. And I was out on a walk one day, one of the times that we were on tour, and I saw a little brook just kind of running down through the woods and out and through a field, and there was nothing spectacular about it, but it was pretty enough. But what I was struck by was the sense of the intimacy of the brook running through the land, and that the sort of inevitability of where the brook is going to go based on, just physics, and that. So it was sort of a conversation between the land and the water, and the land speaking to the water. So, but it's a metaphor for, it's a love song. So, and I think I probably had my little boy in mind when I was writing it. So that's where that came from. I was afraid when I
guests are Patty Casey and Tom McKenzie, a group called Shady Rill, and that's one of Patty's own compositions. And I want to ask the same thing of you, Tom. Could you tell us about one of the kind of themes you like to write about?
Oh, well, I do a lot of sitting around and noodling on the banjo, I call it, just sort of letting whatever comes.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I love doing most is, you know, playing backup songs to songs like Patty's and trying to add something that's not just rhythm or not just melody, but somehow filling in the spaces in between the music and adding to the feeling of it, if that makes sense.
I think so.
And
yeah.
It's I'm always thinking of not, you know, I'm not worried about the melody as much as I am the overall feeling of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if the melody happens to be part of that, that's fine. But it's comfortable for me on the banjo because I've played for so long, and it's just sort of I can think what I want, and if I'm lucky, it happens. So I think that's how I approach it. And I think I do that on all the different instruments. I try not to get in the way
mm-hmm.
a lot of times when I'm playing along with somebody. But I love playing along with people because of that. You know, I can play lots of contra dance tunes uh-huh. and square dance tunes, but I really enjoy playing accompanying or playing harmonies to someone else playing because, you know.
Yeah, you two really fit together well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, it's fun.
Is there something that you want to do of yours, Tom?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of something that I know at this hour. So, let's see. Nothing that I have in hand.
No?
Right now
okay.
Do
you
want
to do Monday or something?
I'll record it at home and send it to you.
Do you want to do some flute and banjo?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I was just going to do that.
Okay, sure.
We're changing instruments here.
We'll do a couple of Irish tunes. We'll do two reels, Dick Gossip's reel and the Silver Spear.
Obviously, Patty can't sing when she's playing the flute, but does it ever happen that she's playing the flute and you're singing, Tom? I don't know if you...
Well, let me think. Well,
Birdie, we do a...
Yeah, that's true. We do some of that.
Yeah.
Because that's a very piercing sound. I wonder if it goes well with the voice. It
can?
Yeah, okay. Yes. I've got an example of that. I'm putting it on the spot.
A little bit of Birdie. I've got to tune a little bit. But,
okay, they're going to play a special request from me, I mean for me, flute... With singing.
Flute and banjo and singing, yeah. And this is an old song, probably from North Carolina or so, called Little Birdie. And it's got lots of nice metaphors in it. So it's
okay.
It's a deeper song than you would think on first listen. So.
And full disclosure, this is actually a whistle that I'm playing, yeah. So, but we'll see how.
Yes, this is a front
blow, not a side blow.
Yes, that's right.
Little birdie, oh little birdie, what makes you fly so high? It's because I have a true little heart, and I do not fear to die. So little birdie, oh little birdie, come and sing to me your song. I've a short time to be here with you, and a long time to be gone. Well, little birdie, oh little birdie, what makes your coat so blue? It's because I've been a-grieving, been a-grieving over you. And little birdie, oh little birdie, what makes your breast so red? After all that I have been through, it's a wonder that I ain't dead. If I was a little birdie, I'd not build my nest on the ground. I would build my nest in some tall oak tree, where the bad boys, they cannot tear it down. And if I was a little birdie, I'd not build my nest in the air. In my true love's breast, sleep in the locks of her hair. Oh, little birdie, oh, little birdie, come and sing to me your song. I've a short time to be here with you, and a long time to be gone. Oh, little birdie, oh, little birdie, come and sing to me your song. I've a short time to be here with you, and a long time to be gone.
Well, thank you. Okay, well, you must be sure to tell us next time you come back to Iowa.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Inviting us in.
Have you got one song to finish with?
Sure thing. Tell me, what would you like to do?
I'm in D, but I can be in anything. What about Sunnyside?
This is a Carter Family song.
Three.
There's a bright and a sunny side too. If you meet with the darkness and strife, sunny side you've also made you. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all our way if we keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, the storm and its
bright. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all our way if we keep on the sunny side of life.
Sounds gonna keep us on the sunny side of the banjo.
Greet with a song of hope each day. Though our moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in good care. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help every day, it will brighten all our way if we keep on the sunny side of life. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all our way if we keep on the sunny side of life.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Patty Casey and Tom McKenzie.
Thank you.
Until next time, goodbye from the heart of Iowa.